We have to believe that we can change. What does it do with what I'm doing here? Because let's say we come into this experiment and you put here that you are terrible in anger, right? You're a one, right? I get angry at everything. Even the slightest thing really bothers me. For a person who doesn't work on their midos, they may believe that for the rest of their lives, they're always going to be angry. There's nothing I can do about it. That's the way I was born. Often that's something that you'll say to yourself. That's the way I was born. I can't do anything about it. Okay? But this experiment shows us it's not the truth. It's true up to a certain point in our lives. We've either viewed ourselves as people who are angry, or we've been accustomed to being angry. But we have to recognize that we can change. And therefore, just like in this simple thing, but all you have to do is look at someone else's paper, and you see how you can view the picture in a different light, so too when it comes to ourselves. We can view ourselves in a different light. Just because up to this point we have struggled in a certain area, in Avodas Hashem in general, but here specifically, we're talking about character traits, just because we've acted a certain way up to this point in our lives does not mean that there's not another picture. There's not another way to see ourselves, and another way to act. So I think the first thing we need to convince ourselves of, and for me to convince you and myself, is that we can change. When it comes to character traits, no matter how young or how old you are, at every stage in life, we are able to change our midos, our character traits, and as we'll see in a second, it's critical. It's such an important part of life, and we have to believe in that before we even get going. Okay, so that's something just thinking about as we move forward. Okay, the importance of working on midos. The Vilna Gaon, as we all know, was a great Gaon. He was a great genius, a super genius. He lived in the 1700s, and they say that he only slept 2 hours a day. And even those 2 hours weren't two straight hours. There was a half hour here, half hour there. That's all he slept every single day. Okay, crazy, really person not in this world. Now, if the Vilna Gaon would walk into this room right now and say, "Hey, Vilna Gaon, nice to see you. What do you think is the most important thing for a person to focus his time on in this world?" Okay, what do you think he would say? Right, you'd say Torah. He spent literally 18 hours a day, or 20 hours a day, whatever it was, studying Torah. It's pretty crazy. He's studying Torah every single day. And yet, the Grub, as we also call him, he wrote many Perushim, many different commentaries on different books. And in his commentary on Mishlei, I'll quote a few right now, he says the following. A fascinating idea, he says like this. He's quoting a pasuk in Mishlei. I'll read you the pasuk in Mishlei. I'll just read the end. The pasuk says, "Ki hi chayacha." It is your life. Okay, what is your life? It says, "Ki hi chayacha." What is your life? Says the Vilna Gaon on his parish on Mishlei. Listen carefully. He says, "Ki ma sha'adam chay." The reason why a person is alive. Okay, this is really important. Let's see what he's going to say. You would think, what would he say? Go to Torah. Look what he says. "Hu kidei," and actually I put this on the sign on the bottom if you saw. "Hu kidei lishbor." It's in order to break, literally to break, but we'll see what it means. It really means to fix. Mashalo shavar amina oso hamida. A person is in this world to fix himself in that character trait which he hasn't fixed himself up to that point. And he says, lachain, therefore, tsarich tamid. A person needs to consistently, litchazik, to strengthen himself. Vimoit chazik. If you don't strengthen yourself in your character traits, lama lo chayim. Why do you have life? Whoa, that's crazy. He says that in another place also. Which comes to show you the importance of working on midos. It's not just some nice shir we're going to have, you know, some chabura at 3:30 every Sunday. This is life. This is life. This is really what, again, obviously studying Torah is important. I think the Vilna Gaon would agree that studying Torah is very, very important. But there needs to be this other aspect of what we would call musr, but here specifically working on our character traits. And if I was to ask you, how many of us, including myself, in our elementary schools, in our high schools, had classes on midos, on character development? I don't know, anyone have that? So is that a problem? I don't know. Some would say, no, you shouldn't really teach midos. Midos is something that you kind of learn based on, you know, seeing an example of your parents or your teachers. But that's very nice, and I think, yes, of course, we hope that our parents and our teachers and friends are good role models. But at the same time, were we ever taught methods of how to work on anger, work on jealousy? These are things that are really critical to work on and to focus on. The fact that we, none of us, including myself, when I went to elementary school or high school, didn't have any classes on that, I think it's a little, I don't know, a little sad. I mean, we should be focusing on this a little bit more. There was a great mashkiach of a yeshiva, right? Green was the era mashkiach in this yeshiva, but there was a great mashkiach in a yeshiva called Panovich in Bnei Brak, Rav Chaim Friedlander. There's a set of svarim in the Bay Center. It's called Sifsei Chaim. It's a blue set of svarim. He has works on many different areas of Hashkafa. And at the end of his life, he was very, very sick. And he went to America to get some sort of treatment to see if it would help him. And then the day he came back, and everyone knew that it was the end. So he had about 2 weeks to live, they said. And he came back to Bnei Brak, where he lived, and Roshach, he was the great Gadol in Bnei Brak. He was like the rabbi, he was the Rosh Yeshiva of Yeshiva Kolpanovich, he was the great rabbi. He comes and he says, literally said, I have 2 weeks to live. What should I focus on? I have 2 weeks to live. What should I focus on? What did he tell him? Tikkun Hamidos. It's crazy. This Rav Chaim Fluda, in other words, teaching students how to be good people. And at the end of his life, his Rebbe, Roshach, said, the most important thing you can focus on for the next 2 weeks of your life is fixing your Midos. Which again, just comes to show you how critical it is, and I think it's very, really shows, you know, for those of us sitting in this room, not including myself, everyone here, how special you are. The fact that you decide to come and to work on Midos. Okay, why do I, aside from these quotes from some great rabbis and stories, why do I think it's important to work on Midos? I'll just share with you personally, in terms of two stories that happened to me, that I just kind of pointed out to me. So I'm very into playing sports, and for many summers I spent on a program called NCSY Colo. It's one of the NCSY's summer programs, and so I used to ref a lot of basketball games. And I myself like playing basketball, but I also reffed the games there when I was on the sports staff. And two stories stick out to me. One is, this is what happened basically every single game, and anytime you played or watched basketball games, okay? You have a guy driving down to the basket, he's dribbling the ball to the basket, goes up for a shot, goes up for a layup, gets pushed, thinks he gets fouled, the ref doesn't make a call, okay, the ref says there's no foul. And what does the guy do? He starts screaming at the ref, right? They're blind, there are a lot worse things that I can't see in this room, right? Okay. Next play down, same thing happens. The guy drives the basket, tries to shoot a layup, thinks he gets fouled, the ref doesn't make a call, again he goes off on the ref. What happens? Usually at the end of the game, this happened to me, right? He'd come over to me, he got a lot of professional ref, I never trained to be a ref, I was just doing my best. He'd come over to me and say, ref, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry, I lost my cool, the heat of the game. So when I started my career as refing, so I thought they were telling the truth. Yeah, okay, I forgive you, okay? Once it happened over and over and over again, not the same person, but every single game, you have the same, usually the best player on the team. Every time, thinks he gets fouled, missed the shot, and he'd go off on the ref. Lenche said, they would say to me at the end of the game, I'm sorry. I would say, no, you're not. You know you're not sorry, because if you were sorry, and you really felt bad about it, then maybe you're right. This game, maybe next time you try to work on a little bit more, and the next game a little bit more, you actually get better. But if it's happening every single game, not sorry. You're just saying that because you feel bad that you screamed at me during the game. And to me, after a couple summers of this happening to me, I was like, why aren't these people learning Midos? And again, I wasn't judging anyone, because I also probably struggled on the court. But especially when it comes to a basketball game, actually we'll get to this, in terms of getting tested for your Midos. We'll get this in a second. We'll discuss in a couple of weeks in terms of actually playing a basketball game or playing sports and getting riled up. Why aren't you working on Midos? That was one. And the second, which is just very similar, was that there was this all-star basketball player coming to NCSY Cole and stuff. This unbelievable player. He would like shoot threes from half court. He'd hit the shot. It was really crazy. I'm not kidding. Every single time he missed the shot, and like, he would shoot from half court. He would hit it like 9 out of 10. Like, an unbelievable player. Whatever he would miss, even if there's no one in his vicinity, he'd always scream at the ref. Oh, you missed this call. You missed that call. It was just, it was so sad. This boy, who had come, he had spent a year or two in Israel for the year. Okay, if he was 16 or 17, even I understand. You come to Israel for the year, you don't spend some time in Midos, and then, again, not judging, I don't even know the yeshiva he went to, but in his yeshiva, they didn't focus any time on working on Midos. So to me, I really got into this idea of working on Midos, and again, really for me myself, but hopefully to share with other people, again, the importance and practical steps on how to work on it. I think I'll give some chizuk, some strengthening in terms of this idea of working on Midos. There's... I don't think I came up with this, but you read an art school biography of a gadol. I like reading biographies. You learn about a personality, you really get to see who they are. Now, you open up any art school biography, and it's not even against art school, I love art school, but often what you'll see is, you open up a biography about some great rabbi, and it says, by the time he was 5 years old, he finished all the shots. And by the time he was 10 years old, he was already rabbi of the community. Right? And it's like, I can't connect these people, right? Right now I'm 30, and I haven't done any of those things. Right, so like you kind of lose hope. It's inspiring some, but on the other hand, you kind of lose hope. And we get this thought into our mind that these gadolim, these great people, are great teachers like your rabbis. They were born perfect. They're born perfect, and there's no way that I'm able to ever get to their level. of righteousness, of kindness to other people. And sometimes that kind of gets us to think, you know, it's not even worth it for me to try. Because if you look at it, whatever, a Rosh Hashiva, a great Rebbe, whoever it is, a parent, you see, wow, like, they were born like that. I wasn't born like that. So I'm here to dispel that notion, okay? And this is, there was a great Rosh Hashiva named Rav Yitzchak Putner. Okay, there's Rosh Hashiva and Yeshiva called Chaim Berlin in New York. And in one of his sfarim, he wrote the following. He said, we all know the Chafetz Chaim. Chafetz Chaim. The Chafetz Chaim wrote a lot of works. But probably his most, either one or his second most famous books is his book on Lashon Hara. And make sure we speak properly. That's his name, the Chafetz Chaim, comes from his work on Lashon Hara. Chafetz Chaim, Shmiras HaLashon, and now they're starting a daily, Donnie Pfeiffer starting to learn a daily lesson. That's based on the Chafetz Chaim, on his works on Lashon Hara. Now ask the Rizal, do you think that the Chafetz Chaim he grew up struggled with Lashon Hara? Now you would probably say no, right? He was this unbelievable tzaddik, probably from the time he was 2 years old. If I wrote the book when he was like, you know, 4 or 5 years old, there's no way. Says Rav Yitzchak Putner, and it only takes someone like Rav Putner to say this. We couldn't say this. But he said, there's no doubt in my mind that the Chafetz Chaim, your soul there, struggled in the area of Lashon Hara. He was a regular person, just like everyone else. He had grown up in a different society, in a different time period. He was just like everyone else who struggled. And yet, he worked on himself. He kept growing and growing, and eventually he mastered this area. He was able to even write a book about it. I'll share with you another. This is really crazy. Now, they say this may not be true, but I'll share with you anyways. So there's, you know, we have the Mishnah. One of the Mefarshim on the Mishnah, can I see the other one here? No, it's the Tiferes Yisrael. Okay, Tiferes Yisrael. He's one of the Mefarshim on the, if you just take a classic Mishnah, he's one of the Mefarshim there. And at the end of Maseches Kiddushin, he shares the following story. Now again, the story may not be true. Some say it's not true, but he did write it. So listen to the following story. The story happened in the time of Moshe Rabbeinu. It said the following. There was a king who lived in the time of Moshe Rabbeinu, and he heard about this great person, Moses. And he wanted to kind of learn about this person. Now, they didn't have social media. They had no way of getting in touch with the people and the Jews in the Midbar. So what did he do? So he asked one of his people to go and to draw a picture. An artist. Go draw a picture of Moshe Rabbeinu. And when you bring it back to me, I guess you'll be able to kind of read faces and understand people based on a picture. He said, come back and I want to see a picture of Moshe Rabbeinu. Okay. So the artist goes out. He travels all the way to the Midbar, wherever the Jews were at that time, and he draws this picture. Okay. Travels back, brings the picture to the king, and the king looks at the picture, and you see he's really upset. Why are you upset? I did what you said. I traveled through the desert, I asked Moses, can I draw a picture of you? And I took a picture, and I came back. Why are you upset? He says, I'm able to read faces. Now what I see here is a person who is very, very angry, and a person who likes to show off, and a person wants honor, and this cannot be the Moses that we all hear about, this holy, holy man who received the Torah at Sinai. This can't be this person. I said, no, this is, I promise, like, I was told to, like, everyone asked, who's Moses? This is Moses. I took a picture of him. Now, what the Pharisee says, based on the story, and may not be true, is that even someone like Moshe Rabbeinu innately had certain egos that weren't perfect. Even Moshe Rabbeinu had to work on himself to a certain extent. Again, he may have ended up on a much higher level than we'll ever get to. The idea being that even the great people of our society, Moshe Rabbeinu, the Chafetz Chaim, and I can share with you a lot of other stories, these people also struggled with their character traits. But you know what they did? They recognized the importance of working on their character traits, and they took it seriously. And they became what they became because they worked hard. Now again, like I said before, there are certain character traits that we're all born with innately that we're good at. Whatever it could be. Like I said on this list, you could go down here and say, I'm already a 10. I'm always happy. Those people who are always happy, always smiling. They're a 10 already. Great. You didn't work for that. That's how you were born. Great for you. But that doesn't mean that you're not going to have another 4 or 5 on this list that you need to work on. And we have to recognize, and again, these great condolences, these great people that we see that we think are perfect, think person like a Berkowitz. Yeah, but I'm sure Berkowitz struggled in certain areas. You look, he looks like a holy tzaddik, and he is. But I can guarantee if you spoke to him personally and said, hey, Berkowitz, when you're, you know, 15 years old and you struggle, of course he's going to say yes. Maybe at a different level, but of course he did. So I think it's just chizik for ourselves to recognize that, yeah, even if we feel like we're kind of closer to 1 than 10 on many of these character traits, to recognize that just like we are a little bit closer to 1, there are many people and many great people who also may be closer to 1, but eventually they work with themselves. So we can do it, we just have to put in a little bit of effort. Okay, two or three more minutes, and then we'll close it for a day, and then I guess we'll see what we'll do next week. Maybe we'll jump already into a meeting next week. Why?
Okay.
Why is it so important to work on our meetings? I'll take some suggestions from the crowd. Okay, I'm talking about how important it is. The Gaon of Gaon says it's really important. Why do you think it's important to work on your character traits? We're going to try to list three reasons. Okay? We'll call it that. Any thoughts? Okay, who cares? What?
You want to be a loser? You're okay. A bad leader, so you're going to always be upset at everything everyone says. No one wants to be around you.
Okay, so it's more...
To better yourself.
Good. And is there any... Just for that, or is it leading to anywhere else? Just being...
It can lead to everything. It's for yourself. It's for the job you get married. It's for raising your family.
Good. Okay, fine. So that'll put us number two. Okay? What I'll call, let's say, building our personality. Okay, building our personality. What do I mean? What do you mean? Okay, we may think that, let's say anger. I think anger is a very good example because we all get angry. Let's say you have a lot of anger inside, but you never express it. You never do anything. Right? If someone's really angry, they'll take a chair and they'll throw it on the ground. Okay? Now, if someone else really gets angry, but doesn't do anything. He's really, but a lot of anger. Not like you got angry a little bit. You got a ton of anger. You really feel like you want to, do something, but you don't do anything. Is that also a problem? Just to have the bad meat that inside? Let's say jealousy. I'm so jealous of someone else, but it doesn't lead to anything. Or anything here.
Yeah.
Right, simple. You're always upset, but it doesn't lead to anything. What do you think? Is it bad to have just the bad meat up?
Yeah.
Okay, but that doesn't lead to anything.
You're just bottling it up. You're not doing anything about it. You're going to explode that shit.
Oh. Okay, so I'm going to quote from you, not from some Kabbalist, I'm going to quote from the Rambam. Listen to the Rambam sense. Okay, it says like this. This is in Rambam in Hilchos Teshuvah. Okay, he says as follows. He says, I'll translate it into English. He says, don't think they only have to do Teshuvah from bad actions. Meaning, let's say you killed someone. Right, let's say you did something really, really bad. Right, don't think you only have to do Teshuvah from actions. Says the Rambam, no. Ella Kishim, just like Shetzarach Adam Hashuv Megeli, just like you have to obviously do tshuva. You killed someone, but you stole physical things. So too says Rambam, Kain Mitzarach Lechapes, you have to search, B'de'os Ra'os, in your bad character traits, Sheishla, B'lashuv, Mina Ka'as, Mina Eva, Mina Kina. You have to do repentance and do tshuva from all your bad character traits. What the Mefarshim here, what the commentaries say here, is that the Rambam doesn't say you have to do tshuva on anger that leads to something else. The Rambam doesn't say, you have to do tshuva for anger that leads to you throwing a chair out the window and hurting someone. No! Even the fact that you just have the anger itself, that in and of itself is something bad. It's something that we have to do tshuva on. So you are correct. According to the Rambam, we're trying to build up our personalities. Right? The example I wrote here in my notes is, you know, even if you don't drink spoiled milk in your fridge, but your fridge itself smells like spoiled milk. Meaning, there's something rotten about having those bad needles built up inside of you. I'll finish with this. I'll have to go up to you next time with the other two. But I'll finish with this. Obviously, we're not supposed to cheat. Okay? So in high school, you may have a principal or a proctor come around and say, okay, so make sure no one's cheating. Okay, why can't you cheat? Truthfully, what?